Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, once again, thank you for coming. We are beginning a new series of our Bible studies. This time, we are going to use our book, Financial Prosperity, Breaking the Back of Poverty. Glory be to God. Amen. This is a very simple book. You can actually teach from it in like 3 sessions. You understand? Okay. But we shan't do 3. We shall do as the Lord leads us. But it is a very simple book. Okay. Very simple, but God loves it. Glory be to God. God loves it because it is Him who instructed that it should be written. Hallelujah. It is not me who decided to write it. It is God who instructed me to write it. And I wrote exactly what He told me to write. He told me, write everything I have taught you since that time. I think it was 1999. Anyway, that time when I just gotten born again and I had His audible voice, you know. So He told me, write what I have taught you from that time, you know, up until 2016. Everything I've taught you about prosperity. Okay, He said, put it in a book. He gave me a deadline. Okay, a deadline, you know, this book was, it was done like in 3 months or something like that. He told me it should be released in a particular month, and we did all that. Glory be to God. And to really emphasize how, you know, God loves this book, how He considers it His book, is that I remember a week before we launched it, okay, I was... you know, somehow I'd given away most of the money I had. But I was like, you know, so I was saying that, yeah, I mean, concerning the launch day, I can put on my old suits, you know. Now, remember, it was a Thursday. I just left the here after prayers. Then I sat at the chef. While I'm at the chef, okay, some guy, I don't think that guy had ever sent me money. A friend of mine, okay, sent me money. It was a lot of money, okay? A lot of money, okay? And I think up until now, I haven't received that much amount of money on mobile money. And immediately I knew what it was for. God was like, you know, I want you to really, as in, look new and good for that day, because it is an important day for me, launching that book. I told you to write it, you know, and that day is important to me. Glory be to God. Amen. Then a few days before the launch again, Prophet Paul, Jezer, he had a dream when I was telling people, that the number of accidents I had survived, okay, before the launch day, okay? So it, of course, it meant that, you know, the launching of those, of this book, you know, the enemy didn't want it, so he had, you know, stage managed, planned some bad events, and unknowing to me, I had survived all of them. And that day happened, and we launched it. Okay? Months after we launched it, there was that dream, most of you remember it, when it was being given to me as one of the presents from my father, who, you know, God. You know, He was giving me this book as a present. All right? A few weeks ago, I think this is like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, Dennis Mujimba had a dream when some people were coming to LAT, okay, looking for the anointing that breaks the yoke, okay? And in the dream, they were referred to this book. So, of course, the yoke they meant was, I guess, luck, okay? Since this was a solution, all right? So those dreams are wonderful. They just show how important this book is. Okay, that's not my opinion. That is heaven's opinion. I'm not blowing for my book. I'm being humble enough to tell you what God thinks about what? About this simple book. Very simple book. I sat somewhere and I read it in 3 straight hours. 3 hours. You know? That's how simple it is. 3 hours and I was done. And it blessed me, by the way. Glory be to God. So, I'm excited that God's will for this season is that we might study the Bible using that book. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let us start by reading some portions from page 10, 11, and 12. And then after that, we shall go deeper, a little bit deeper, and study what we have read. Amen. So, page 9 is where chapter 10 is, rather chapter 1. Page 9, basically, the topic today is what is financial prosperity, all right? What is financial prosperity? All of you know the things which I'm going to say, all right? However, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to study things that you know, amen? All right, why? You can ask him, amen? Yeah, but most of you know all these things which we're going to study, you know. They're simple things, all right? Simple things, you know, The things of God are very simple. The reason why we get messed up is because we make them difficult. You understand? We make the things of God difficult and we mess ourselves up. Okay? The things of God has never intended to be difficult. God meant to be understood by both the literate and the illiterate. Do you understand? Okay? God meant to be understood by both the wise and the barbarians, okay? The Greeks and the non-Greeks, by everybody. That means that the things of God are simple. If the things of God are supposed to be understood by everyone, irrespective of their IQ, of their, you know, how far they went in school. That means that things of God are very simple. Glory be to God. Now, so the topic is, what is financial prosperity? Okay? Now, so let us read a few portions of the book, like I said, from page 9, page 10, okay, 11 and 12. Okay, but let's begin by the last sentence on page 9. Are you there? Okay. It says that the continual failure by the body of Christ to biblically define financial prosperity has led to a lot of confusion and endless frustration among Christians. Using 3 John 2, that clearly states God's desire for us to be well off financially, we find in the Bible the most accurate meaning of prosperity. 3 John 2 states, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The word translated prosper in this verse from the King James Version of the Bible comes from a Greek word, that word, which is made up of two root words. And the first word means good, and the second word means road, a route, a progress, or journey. The Apostle John was simply saying, I wish you a good journey. All right? Now let's go down that same page, page 10, the last sentence. All right? It says that when the Spirit, therefore, through Apostle John says that I wish that you may prosper, he means that among other things, he also wants us to be well off financially. Financial prosperity, therefore, is God's will for our lives. The God who delights in the prosperity of his servant, Psalms 35 verse 27, would like to see his children having all that they need and more in order to be a blessing to others. To better understand what prosperity is, let us so discover what it is not, so we do not become unbalanced in our spirituality. Prosperity is not just having things or money, neither is it defined by how much money or how many material possessions one has. Being rich or prosperous is a relative thing. When all that you need is abundantly supplied and you have extra left to give towards worthy causes, then you are truly blessed and prosperous. You might not have a house or car to your name, but if your rent is always paid and you can comfortably travel to where God wants you, then, my friend, you're doing well. Actually, if at that level, you still have excess cash to share with those in need and to be a blessing to God's kingdom, you have attained true biblical prosperity. Glory be to God. Let's go to page 12. Page 12. There's a sentence somewhere in the middle of the first paragraph, which begins by, you always. Have you seen it? It says that you always come across someone who has more than you. Even now, there is a person who has a better car than yours, or actually more cars. So if prosperity was defined by how much or how many of anything someone has, then no one will qualify to be called prosperous. Let me say this again. If all your needs are supplied and there is more than enough money left over to give away, then you are rich. Okay? Then you are prosperous. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay? It is that simple. And that is what we are going to study today. Glory be to God. Amen. Psalms 35, verse 27, as we read from the book, it says, basically, it teaches that God delights, okay, God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Okay? God has pleasure. He takes pleasure in your well-doing. Glory be to God. He takes pleasure in that. Again, as we read in the book, 3 John verse 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Glory be to God. Okay, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. All right? I pray that you may have a good journey. How can you have a good journey, okay, when you can't eat chicken, what is that place called? You know, oh, how can you have a good journey if you can't pay for the journey. Do you understand? Okay? So, prosperity is essentially that. When the needs, okay, your needs in this journey of life, you know, when they are abundantly supplied, okay? They don't have to be supplied in advance. Do you understand? And this is where now, this is where the trouble starts. Glory be to God. Amen. You don't have to have your own house now. As long as you're staying in a certain house, okay, whether you're staying in it free of charge or you're paying rent in it, okay, as long as you have, you're staying in, you understand, you have shelter, you are prosperous. Okay, your house might come after 10 years. So it doesn't mean that you'll only be prosperous 10 years when the house comes. Glory be to God. Amen. The needs don't have to be met in advance. Glory be to God. Okay? I'm going ahead of what? Myself. Amen. Primarily because I am not what? My first calling is not a teacher. Hallelujah. Okay? It is Hillary and some other people like, what's her name? Okarwe, who are real, what? They can give you line upon line, you know, precept upon, you know. Yeah. Joanne is also not what? He's not a real teacher. Amen? So, now, let us define, okay, let me give you a definition from the book, which I have here that complements also what is in the book. Okay? Remember, the topic today is what is financial prosperity. Okay? Amen? Now, the definition I have here is true financial prosperity is when God, with or without money, okay? These things are important. When God, okay? Underline that word God. Okay? With or without money provides for all your immediate needs, okay, and assignment, and you're content and grateful with that. All right? True financial prosperity is when God, with or without money, provides for all your immediate needs, okay, and assignment, the things which he wants you to do now, and you're content and grateful with that. Okay? If that is done, you're prosperous. Okay? Now, note carefully that generosity is always an assignment for all of us. So in the definition of assignment, okay, you include generosity, basically being a blessing to others. So it is not just when your needs are met, but when actually, okay, your need, your assignment to be a blessing to someone is also met. You understand? You have the provision, okay, for that to be a blessing. You understand? Eh? So once again, true financial prosperity is when God, with or without money, provides for all your immediate needs and assignment, and you're content and grateful with that. Glory be to God. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Okay? You remember, the definition starts with God. It is God providing for all your what? Who needs. That is very important. I underlined that word God. All right? The Bible says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who will supply all your need? God. Okay? That is Philippians 4, 19. Okay? God will supply all what? All your needs. Amen? Now, if your needs are supplied any other way, okay, that is not prosperity. If it is not God who's supplying those needs, if it is not God who's meeting those needs, that is not prosperity. Glory be to God. If your needs are met with stolen money, or stolen property, or withheld money, okay? The money came in the right way, okay? But some of it was supposed to go somewhere else, but you withheld it, okay? Or if you got, basically, if you got the money wrongfully, you acquired it wrongfully, that is not prosperity. Glory be to God. Because all your needs are supposed to be met by God, okay? Which channels he uses to do that, that is something else, okay? You know, God is Jehovah Jireh, okay? The God who provides. You understand, eh? The Bible says, you know, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord have all their needs, what? Who met, okay? So if it is not God, you know, meeting those needs, that is not prosperity. Prosperity begins with God. Just like all creation, everything begins with God. Okay? People have stolen money, you know, and, you know, they are doing well. But that is not true prosperity. Glory be to God. Okay? Christians are stealing money. And, you know, they are stealing money in several ways. But one of the ways they steal money is as it is written in Malachi chapter 3, okay, verse 8. God asks a question that, will a man rob God? Okay, then he says, yet you have robbed me. Okay, then the people ask, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? Then he says, in tithes and offerings. Okay, so if someone's needs are met using tithes and offerings, okay, according to God, that is not prosperity. They are using stolen money. Okay? And like we all know, there are other ways money is stolen. You know, you just, anyway, you know. So stolen money, okay, is not God providing for you. It is you providing yourself, okay, conniving with the devil. Glory be to God. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. James chapter 5, 1 to 6, it says, come now, you rich. Okay? Rich guys, okay? But it says, weep and wail for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Okay? And this is how they have acquired their wealth. Yeah? This is how. Verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. Okay? And that just person doesn't resist you because you're more powerful than them. Okay? So you see, these guys became rich, okay, by playing people's what? Wages, salaries. Glory be to God. Okay? You're supposed to pay someone 100 thou, you pay them 20. That is if you pay them at all. And you become rich, okay, and To us who don't know you, we call you prosperous. But the God in heaven is like, that lady is not what? Prosperous. Glory be to God. So, the definition of truth prosperity begins with God. It's basically God meeting your needs. God. Okay? God. Okay? This is why we always say here in church that God has a different definition of prosperity than human beings. Okay? But he would want his definition to become our definition. Glory be to God. You know, a different definition from our. Because, you know, one of the key things is it him who supplied those needs? Or you did it your own way. You did things which he didn't want you to do. Glory be to God. Amen? You know, that is very important. Okay? And that means that many of the things we call prosperous, they are not prosperous. Many of the people we call prosperous, okay, they are not prosperous. Okay? Many of the preachers we call prosperous, according to heaven, they are not prosperous. Okay? But they have it all, okay? But God is like, I am not the one, you know, who prospered them. Okay? They got the money in shady ways. Okay? Glory be to God. Okay? Okay, ladies, chicks, young girls. Okay? Prosperous young chicks, but, you know, if God gave you now, like, you guys would dream, you know, the Johans, the whatever, a dream of how what? That lady has become a prosperous man, you might get a shocker. Hallelujah. Okay, when basically she's selling her body to some guys who can pay her for that. Now that is not what? Prosperity. All right? Okay? Then the other thing is, which we said is, those needs don't have to be met, okay, by money. All right? You might not have money to buy something or to pay for something, but you can actually have that thing. Glory be to God. That means that sometimes the issue is not actually money. Sometimes God won't give you the physical cash or the electronic cash, but he will give you what you need. Have you ever spent a day, you know, when you didn't spend any money? You know, there have been days I've remained at home. Like the whole day I'm just at home. I haven't even driven out of the gate. And then it occurs to me that, wait a minute. You know, it's like 6 p.m. And I'm like, wait a minute. Today I haven't spent any money. Okay? But yet all my needs were what? Okay? You know, glory be to God. There are some examples I want to give, but they might, I don't know if they are good ones. But they are good. Okay? They are what? They are good. Okay? Anyway, okay, now, for example, if Sylvia, okay, if you want a car, okay, if your need is a car, God might not give you, okay, the 20M to buy a car. Glory be to God. You might, you know, somehow God might cause you to fall in love with Hillary. Hillary was a car. And your car need is met. That's simple. Glory be to God. Okay? You might need a car now, and you have a sister, a brother, a friend who is leaving the country or going somewhere, and they need someone to keep their car for some time. And there you are. A need has been what? Met. Okay? That's why in the definition, I say it could be met with or without money. Glory be to God. That is why our focus shouldn't really be money. Okay? But what exactly do you want? Glory be to God. You want food. Eh? Okay? Now, God can supply that food without giving you the money to buy the food. Glory be to God. Okay? Your sister might call you, you know, to her house for lunch. You know? And you're like, I can't come there. I don't have money for a boarder. And she's like, no, let me pick you. Okay? And you get there and they house you lunch. And that need has been met. But then you're eating food, but you think about money. Yet the need has been what? Met. Glory be to God. Amen? I mean, God is amazing. Eh? Okay? I used to tell people, I went for a honeymoon in, 3 weeks. You know? We went away with my wife, you know, to Australia and Thailand, you know. Eh? And if I tell you how much money, you know, was spent, you know, on that trip, eh? You might even think I'm lying. Glory be to God. Amen? But, I mean, financial prosperity is when your immediate needs are met, okay, including what you need for your assignment, with or without money. Glory be to God. And when those needs are being met by God, okay, not by, as we read, withholding salaries of people, okay, withholding tithes and offerings. Glory be to God. Let me show you an example. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. Okay, Luke 22, 35. Okay, it says that, and he, Jesus, said to his disciples, he says that, when I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Okay? He sent them out for an assignment. Okay? And they returned. But he had told them, go with nothing. Okay? But while they were on the assignment, okay, they were abundantly supplied. Okay? He says, when I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, Neda Sebo, we didn't lack. So question is, were they prosperous or they were not? You know, they were prosperous. God provided their needs and he provided for what they needed for that assignment. Glory be to God. Amen? Like we read in the book, it is very important to get the right definition of what prosperity is. Otherwise, people end up frustrated. Okay? You know, frustrated, okay? And that kind of ground with no a ground where people don't know what prosperity really is. Okay? That's when now you can be manipulated, Bulungi. Glory be to God. Okay? You know, this when someone, people will come, they'll plan that, But if you know the definition, okay? You'll be like, no, you're not going to play me, I know. Okay? The truth of the matter is, not everyone, however much you give, okay? Not everyone is going to be given $1 billion. You can do all your math from what? your scriptures of 100-fold, what it means, you understand? What it means if I saw 1 million shillings, then 100-fold, what means what? Okay? Okay? But even us, you know, who started to give, you know, something like 20 years ago, okay? We have never been given $1 billion. Hallelujah. Okay? For some people, it will come, okay? Depending on your calling and assignment, okay? Depending on your calling. Glory be to God, okay? But for some people, it will not come. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't realize that it won't come, there's a guy who always make you give away everything, telling you that what? There's $1 billion awaiting you if you can only give some more. You understand? Okay? Not all of us are going to become prime ministers like Joseph in the Bible, where all the country's finances, you know, it is up to you to decide what to do with them. At any one time, there can be one prime minister. Do you understand? Glory be to God. Amen? There can be one prime minister. In Egypt, at that time, there was only one prime minister. There was only one guy who was in charge of everything. Okay? So that means it was impossible at that time for all people to be the same, for all of them to have $1 billion. Okay? Why was it impossible? It's because it wasn't God's will. Hallelujah. But if you don't know that, there will be a guy who will come and what? But I hope I'm not making you feel bad. Pouring water on all your dreams, you know, cold water on your, you know. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, not all Christians in Uganda are going to have plans. However much you give, glory be to God. Amen. Okay, there'll be some who have plans, you know, God just gives them a plan for their luxury, enjoyment. Okay, others will be given plans because of their assignments. Okay, and others, God will be like, I don't have to give you a plan, you can ride with Sam in his plan. You understand? Others will be like, you don't need to ride in a plane, you know? We shall sort that out in the what? Millennium. Do you understand? Okay? The truth of the matter is, not all Christians will ever have cars, all of them at the same time. However much they what? It's a truth. All our kids, Christians, all our kids, they will never be in the same schools. Because God has never intended what them to be in the same schools. The kids have different callings. You understand? So those callings entail different kinds of trainings. You know? And there's a parent God hasn't given, okay? Their level of prosperity is not yet at 500,000. You understand? So God is not going to, might not get their kids to a school that pays 500,000. But he has a very good school for them. Okay? However, he might get the kid there to that school. Okay? And that need gets met without money. Glory be to God. A missionary from LAT might come to your village. Glory be to God. Looking for kids to pay school fees for in the other most expensive school of what? 500,000. And that need is met. Glory be to God. But there's no scripture which says that all kids are supposed to go to the same school. All people are supposed to eat from the same place. Everyone is supposed to stay in the same posh neighborhood. It's not there. Okay? Like we said, A posh neighborhood doesn't necessarily mean that you're what? Prosperous. Glory be to God. Prosperity is not defined by where you stay or which kind of house you stay in. Now I'm talking about godly prosperity. Godly prosperity means God meeting your needs, your immediate needs. You know, eh? Now, when you understand that, you'll be content, and you'll start to actually thank God for what you have, and that is prosperity. When you're content, did I read that in the definition? Okay, contentment. Hallelujah. Contentment. There's a place I like to go and eat food at the chef. Man, that food is good. You know, okay? But there's a lady here, for her, that's not her class. You understand? And now, I'm not doing all my best to reach her what? Her class. I am content at my what? Do you understand? Okay? Yet, at the same time, there are people who are also, man, looking at me like, you know, So prosperity is not defined, again, like we say, by how much, how many. Are you getting me? I'm telling you, the moment people get the definition of, especially Christians, we need to get, first and foremost, to get the definition of prosperity right. Otherwise, we are going to be so frustrated. Okay? Frustration. Okay? The level you're at, God has provided, you know, has given you energy to walk from here to where you stay. You understand? He's like, no, you don't need the money for what? A border. You understand? I mean, now, because if prosperity was defined by, you know, cars, okay? Someone who has a car is prosperous. Someone who has no car is not prosperous. Do you know what that means? It means, for example, most of the university students are not what? Prosperous. Can you imagine? Yeah? That's what it means, It means all people, you know, who have just gotten into a job, they haven't saved over how much to buy a car. Now, that is ridiculous. Now, what about areas where cars haven't yet arrived? Can you see that whole community is not what? You understand? In fact, it would mean that even Jesus also wasn't what? Because he didn't drive a car. Abraham wasn't prosperous because he didn't what? Drive a car. Do you understand? But those guys, their transport needs were met. Sometimes they used to walk. You know, Sometimes they used to ride. Okay? Donkeys, horses. They were prosperous. You understand? Prosperity is having your needs met. How they are met, that is now another thing altogether. Okay? You can't define prosperity by a job. You know? And how much someone earns. Okay? So what would happen to a university, you know, a student? Okay? Probably at that time God doesn't expect them to have jobs. Okay? But the kid has a roof over them, their father's house. Okay? Their dad gives them a 10K every day. Now that kid is more prosperous than what? Some guys were earning 10M. But when they, you know, but when, man, the 10M can't make ends meet. Do you understand? You know, all the things, all Christians who are being, well, not all of them, but a good number where Buffet are playing them with this whole thing of giving and receiving, which I believe in, but, you know, usually people twist it. Okay? One of the reasons is because these Christians don't have a proper definition of what prosperity is. Okay? Let's read on. Okay? So remember I said immediate needs. Okay? Glory be to God. If you need money for lunch tomorrow, tomorrow, okay? If you don't have that money for lunch tomorrow, you know, you can't say I'm not what? Prosper. Tomorrow hasn't yet come. Okay? Tomorrow lunchtime hasn't yet arrived. Okay? That is why we have to first start with, are your immediate needs met? You can't start to worry about what? Hospital, you know, going to give birth, you know, the money for that, when you haven't even gotten pregnant yet. Then you they are worried about you're not even pregnant. Do you understand? Now, right now, your needs are met. You understand? Now, why? Because now you start to think about your sister who gave birth from which hospital. And now also you start, how will I get the money for that hospital? You're not even pregnant. So that's why I'm emphasizing the needs, the word immediate. Okay, immediate. Glory be to God. Okay? Your child, your child is going to university in the next 3 months. Okay? The deadline for payment hasn't yet arrived. You only want to know your what? Meanwhile, you're eating food, home is happy, but there's a guy in the house who's not happy. He's thinking of 3 months, okay? The tuition is 1 a.m. He has 800,000. 8 months in, month in advance, but he's worried the 200. You understand? So this is when you realize, okay, many Christians are prosperous, but they have messed themselves up. And because they think, they're always looking at things 3 years, so now they start to do things which are supposed to be done in 3 years' time, and they get themselves in trouble. Instead of being content right now. Glory be to God. Amen? This is very what? Important, and you had better get it. Okay? I remember weeks ago, or like 2 months ago, I was with Sam somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And he was telling me, okay? I hope this won't annoy the wife. He was telling me that, if you're paying rent, and the kids are going to school, why stress yourself over what? You understand? Rent is paid, the kids are going to school, and that was what? Remarkable. Now, why stress yourself with it? No, you can be there and then you start to think about what? Now, the kid is going to school now, then you start stressing yourself up about what? His or her university what fees. The kid is 6 years. Already you're stressed about what? What they're going to pay at uni. Glory be to God. Then before you know it, you start doing ridiculous things. Then I don't know who say that all kids are supposed to study in Canada. And I'm telling you, what do you think about all these things? All of you that are to Canada. Now my kid is 6 at Canada University. Then before you know it, they're in 2 things. Get a loan to buy that land, because by the time my kid is ready to go to uni, we shall sell that land. It will have appreciated. Now, you understand? Now, if God guides you in that way, that's okay. But first, appreciate that all your immediate needs right now have been met. You are prosperous. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen. This is why I tell people that no one can convince me that I'm not what? prosperous. Okay? Not because I have a car, but also because I have a car. I always have fuel to go wherever I want. Whenever it has any problem, immediately I have that money. Glory be to God. You see, my immediate what? You know, it never gets a problem when I don't have the what? The money. Hallelujah. Okay? I don't have an X9 like Sam, but I'm content with my what? Little car. I'm prosperous. Okay? And I'm not losing sleep trying to see how I can get an X9 like Sam. I'm not. You know, I'm content and grateful, man. Hallelujah. Amen? You know these things, eh? Okay? Immediate needs, eh? Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own what? Trouble. Do not worry about tomorrow. Your needs have been met today. Be easy. Okay, be happy. Be what? Be happy. Glory be to God. Prosperity, immediate needs. Now, God can meet your future needs now, and he gives you the money for them, okay, now. But if he hasn't done that, taken care of the future, but he has provided for now, you are prosperous. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, the other thing, I guess I've said it, but in other words, being truly prosperous has little or nothing to do with how well you're doing in comparison to other people. All right? Again, this is where people get messed up. In fact, it has nothing to do with how well other people are doing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says that they comparing themselves with one another are not wise. You know, it's there. People comparing themselves with one another. It says they're not wise. Do you know why some people have more money than others? Number one, some careers, or jobs pay more. Naturally, they pay more. Okay? So if someone who studies you understand, any of those things of flying planes, they will definitely earn more than a school teacher, isn't it? So does that mean that according to God, the other guy who's earning 50 million shillings every time they fly the plane, it is simply, someone is earning more simply because of what they studied. You find that person has never even given away 10,000 shillings. Okay? But they're earning more money than a guy who began giving when he was at the what? University. Sometimes it's just what, At times it is just inheritance. Inheritance. Someone hasn't done nothing. They haven't done anything pleasing to the Lord. Nothing. Okay? And sometimes you find they are Christians, but they have never done anything that is pleasing to God. They even don't have tithe. Okay? But by the time they are 26, all right, they have two houses in Humuyenga. Sometimes it's just inheritance. Okay? You understand? They have a family, business. In fact, that person, they even don't have to look for a job. So you cannot say, wow, that guy is the most what? faithful to God? Why? You know, because no, it's just family. It is just you have to see these things. Eh? This is what I always say. Prosperity, again, this is what I'm saying, that what? Prosperity has little or nothing to do with how well whoever you're comparing yourself with is doing. Hallelujah. Okay, that's why are your needs met? Are they met? Be happy, eh? Do now start seeing how, you know, glory be to God. I'm saying, the things which mess up Christians financially are very simple things, in my opinion. Especially those who are, like, faithful with the Lord, and they tithe, and they give. They are working in God's what? The public. You know, if you investigate, they are very simple things, okay? One of the things is they are trying to do what everyone else is doing. Glory be to God. Amen? There's this thing which has begun, man. I feel sorry for what? Parents, especially mothers. Okay? Especially mothers. These days, kids' birthday what? Parties. Yeah. Men are usually not in trouble because a man can just go and buy what? Popcorns and a ball for the kid. I've brought you this for your what? Birthday. And the son will be happy. Eh? But mothers, either they want pressure from their cousins and sisters to bring a bouncing castle at home. Then invite all the cousins. Now, what do you think about it? These things are not cheap. Bouncing castle. Sometimes they do them at the poolside. And the poolside is not free. Every kid who jumps in that water has to what? Now you've all the your cars, Now those things. But sometimes you're like, but can't you just do a thing in your house? Invite a few what? Cousins and friends, why do you have to go to what? Royal suits at the poolside with all your clan. Who's our pressure for nothing? This is why what Sam said is remarkable. Hey, you're in a house and not throwing you out. Glory be to God. Okay. But maybe I don't have a prosperity what? Mindset. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But for me, some of these things. Now, there are other people who can do them comfortably, and it's okay. You understand? Even if you want to do them, go and first talk about it with the Lord. The Lord might tell you, no, don't do it. Okay? Judith, don't do it. Okay? That money you're going to cough to throw all those kids into that water, then the next day you don't have money for your hair. You understand? Yet God had provided you money for your hair. But you decided to what? Bring all your cousins from Kamwenge to throw them into what? The royal suits swimming pool. And now you're broke. And God said, but I gave you the money. You threw it away on useless things. Okay? But you've entered the CV of your clan. Judith is, prosperous man. Took our kids to a swimming pool, Okay? But they don't know money. Back home, you're what? Suffering. No money for what? The hair. Those stupid things. Okay? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. This is what I tell people. If you decide to do a wedding of how much money, some figure X, you shouldn't get angry at me when I give you 10K. You're the one who knew how you are going to what? To raise that money. Do you understand? So people do these ridiculous things. Then when someone gives them a 50K, they get angry. Kali, can you imagine she just gave me 50K? But it was your way. You're the one who did that budget. Yes, and you didn't, what? I wasn't responsible. Eh? My money is my money. It's not your money. And that applies whether it is my sister or my brother. My money is not my brother's money. Maybe I'm just bad. My money is not even my mother's money. Glory be to God. It's not. Yeah? So my mother can't say, give me the money and help you. I can be, if I don't want to help, I it's my money. Do you understand? So my family can't get me to spend money which I don't want to spend. Yeah? They're baptizing, you know, they're going to pour water on a kid in Christ the King. And now I'm also supposed to contribute to something which is not even godly. Then see, man, Christians looking for money to contribute to what? Something which is not, which is even fake. It is not even godly. Because they fear, you know, people might, because my family, they might what, you know, I need my family, my sister's kid. It's my sister's kid. But what are they going to do? Baptize. How? And there's a contribution, a budget. But you're like, do you believe in this thing they're doing? No, but my sister's kid, and it is just, next week you're broke. You give away the money in some demonic thing. Child baptism. Glory to God. Eh? Your sister is marrying a Muslim. Now you're there, man, emptying your account to contribute to the wedding. Your saved sister is marrying you. No, you're there. In fact, go again, Okwa Metron. Kationonia gown. Gown is 0.8. In fact, you even what? Get a loan so that you can order some gown from Dubai, or where France, Paris. And now the next 7 months, you're broke. Just as Sulama Banjaga gown. It is just these small, small, small things that mess up Bambi. The good what? Children of God. Okay? So prosperity has nothing to do with what? So you can really see I am not a teacher. Glory be to God. Okay? If you didn't know that, I think now you've seen it. Okay? So please don't compare. The day you ever stop comparing yourself with other people, you will live a happy life. I'm telling you, you will live a happy life. Okay? Not like anything. I am not comparing myself with anybody. Okay? God hasn't given us the money, okay, to have a public whatever on Wednesdays. You know, so you get into that because Bajira video every Sunday, videography. Now you start all those things. Now you start getting stressed about where to get all that money every Sunday. Before you know it, every Sunday you're preaching a prosperity. What? Why? Because you need money, and you know, and that's how now you start. Your heart starts getting darkened. Where does that problem arise? Comparing yourself with that instead of being content with what God has given you, knowing that you're in God's perfect will and you're happy. You can't even do those videos and no one might watch them for the next 10 years. You know, Ning Tiwali. But somehow you think, man, people want to see you. Sometimes people are in deception. They think their gays were going to go and what? Watch their videos. Okay? You know, Now, the other thing is, being truly prosperous, like we said, has little to do with the amount of money you have, not the kind of things that you possess. We said that already. Glory be to God. Now, 1 Kings chapter 17. You remember? Yeah. Again, what we're saying has already been what? We covered, We have said it, but we shall, anyway, The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, or the inhabitants of Gilead, say to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The guy has no money, okay? But he drinks water, okay? Bread and meat every morning and every evening. God is providing for him. Question, was Elijah prosperous? Okay. Did he even have any savings of meat? The raven will just bring for the morning, okay? And by the mere fact that it used to bring in the evening, it means what it brought in the morning was just enough. Now, it would have been stupid for Elijah to compare himself with the king Ahab, who was in a palace. God's will for Elijah that time was that you be here and your food and water provided. It is a given. Don't worry. Now that is prosperity. That is what? Prosperity. Judith, when you went to the UK, how much money did you pay for your master's? Nothing. So were you prosperous? But there's another kid who went from Iraq and they were paying and you're in the same class. So one is paying, another is not paying. Okay? So who was broke? Who wasn't? Prosperous. Okay? Judith, who wasn't paying? She was prosperous. Her need had been met without money. This is what I was telling you. You don't have to have money for your needs. God didn't have to give you the money to have your needs met. Hallelujah. Okay, Elijah, a bird. You know, this, I pray that the church gets to really understand what prosperity is. If we don't, we shall be miserable. We're miserable when you actually prosper. But because you don't know what prosperity means, you think you're not, so you're miserable. Then that's when now Bafele will come and what? Put around with you and even will give away your prosperity. Because you thought you're not what? We're prosperous. So anyway, it says in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Glory be to God. Amen. And later, when the brook dried up, God sent him somewhere else. Okay? And while there, he lived a prosperous life. All his needs were met. Okay? He sent him to the widow of Zarephath. Okay? A widow. Some of us, you're like, man, if I can just, you know, stay where we swan so. If I can just become friends with Mohoz. Glory be to God. Every time you see him, you're like, man, you want to remind him that, you remember, you were 3 years ahead of me in school, Tons Juki, that's what. Maybe if he can remember, he can ask you, what do you do? You know, there's this job, you know. God didn't do that to Elijah. I sent him to a widow. And while they are in a widow's house, okay, his needs were met. Not in the palace with Ahab. Glory be to God. Okay? Elijah wasn't grumbling, God, what, I'm not prosperous, why things are tight. He was drinking water, people are starving somewhere else. The guy is somewhere in some place drinking water, man. You know? He didn't have to work. Just has to wait for a bird at what? At 8 a.m. to bring meat and bread. Eats it. Maybe it's enough. He eats. He feasts until midday. Maybe it wasn't you. You eat it in 2 minutes and get finished. You find it was what? Mob. Eat until midday, then you relax. Okay? Then at 4 p.m. it comes back. Okay? Prosperity. Glory be to God. Who says you have to have what? 10 pairs of shoes. Like that lady. What was that lady's name? Queen who? That France, you know, yeah? You don't. As you can have one pair of shoes, as in, and you know, in the same way you can have one car, you can also have what? If you want, that is. Okay, if you want more shoes, that's okay. Okay? All right? But in the event that you can't get a second pair, and you have this one shoe, and it's kawa, you understand? What's the problem? But because now you have a sister who always comes and chooses that. Now you start comparing yourself one with another and problems start. Before you know it, you're also looking for a man. Because this sister of mine, we grew up together, we have same mother, same father, and sister Wang. People think that we're not sisters. Because the way for her she dresses, what? People think we're not sisters. You know, your sister has her ways, she's getting what? Glory be to God. Genesis chapter 39. You can't talk about prosperity without talking about this guy called Joseph. Okay? Genesis 39, from verse 1, it says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Okay? So, he's a slave. Verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Other versions say, prosperous man. A slave being prosperous. A slave. And according to God, a slave is prosperous. There's some of you, there are slaves who are in peace, total peace. They are prosperous. And some of you are disturbing them. I'm telling you that guys, slaves, they are prosperous. And it is God who has prospered them where they are in their slavery. Ababazungu, those white people, you know. Guys, you know. That's why Paul didn't make it his agenda to what? To tell, you know. Look at Africa. We were here colonized. Then we what? We got independence. What happened thereafter? Guys left you, okay? You want to be free? They left. Now look at what you have done to Kololo. Look at what you've done to Nakasero, man. You've missed it, you know, You know, being being free, being having your own timetable when you can do whatever you want to do at any time doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be able to prosper. Huh? And this is the other thing, how people end up in trouble. So for me, I'm leaving home. You know, these things of telling me that I have to be home at 9. Yeah? I'm leaving home. Then you leave home. Home, God had supplied your needs at in that house. You know, eh? Supply your needs in that house. You know, like Elijah in the cabin, you know? Daddy just brings what? Bread and meat. All right? Now, Gogama, no, I want my what? Freedom. So that I can, you know, do my channels, eh? Put up my channels. Then you leave the home. And then what? Calamity hits. Now paying for DSTV is a trick. Rent. You even hate a very innocent person, the owner of the house. You hate him or her. Someone very innocent. They just built their house and you brought yourself. Now you hate them. The sight of them. You see, you've messed up yourself. Your prosperity was in your mother, your father's house. Even food becomes a trick. You understand? Why did you do that? Because you are comparing yourself with other people who are free, you know? Okay? And you get into trouble, Anyway, so slave. A slave what? Stop, unless God has given you a revelation, stop disturbing slaves. Please. I'm telling you the truth. Paul, did you see Paul disturbing them? In fact, he told them that, you know, be there, Be happy. It's there. You've read it. In fact, somewhere, you know, Paul seemed to be against some other guys who are disturbing slaves, telling them to what? In fact, he told them, man, be obedient to yourself, even if, balokole, okay? Don't despise them, you understand? And he told them, because, you know, those who benefit from your work as a slave, okay, they are born again. They are beloved. Omlokole, yafunam from your what? He saw a big, as in, do your work real good. Cut it in for you, come and you start what? God has, they freed slaves in America, and some of them, when they were freed, they didn't know what to do. You've read those stories. These men were what? As in, okay? And some, you know, And so Joseph was a what? Aha. Now, this also, you know, you can use it to talk to these, to some people about this thing of what? Self-employment and what? Guys leave their jobs where you're supposed to be at work at 8. You know, you have a lunch break. After that, you should be there until 5. And they're like, no, Nzenkoye, you know, I can't be a slave. And they get in trouble. You know, because you want to be free. Then you decide to go free. And now, you meet what? The real business world. You understand? Where man, you're like, I tell you, you're born again. So, you know, there's something you can't do. But if a guy will never fire you, And then, because you wanted to be free. Anyway, but Joseph was a slave, and the Bible says he was a successful man, a prosperous man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper. Glory be to God. So, what is the definition of prosperity? Here we see a slave who owns nothing. according to heaven, someone was all had nothing, but God is like they were prosperous. So that means that, like I say, prosperity is not what you have or what you don't have. Glory be to God. If you don't have a house, you haven't built a house, it doesn't mean that you're not what? Prosperous. So stop having sleepless nights, okay, in the struggle to become what? Prosperous. In quotes, your prosperity. According to God, you're prosperous. I give you rent every month. If I don't give you rent, you're staying with your brother. And it is me who got you there because that's how I was going to put a roof over you. Do you understand? Be content with where you are. You know? Of course, God is not against increase, like we shall see one time. You know, he will increase you. But first, be content where you are. Glory be to God. LAT, we're not looking for land to build, what? We're not stressing ourselves with that. We're not yet there. God hasn't told us that. We are content. We are prosperous paying rent in a hotel. We are not going to, what? Start stressing ourselves. We're not going to get into a lazy water. Every month you have to pay 5 million shillings, then you're disturbing church members. Because every church has land, The other church, remember, it started 2 years before us, but now they're building. That's where problems start. Glory be to God. Maybe I don't have a prosperity mindset, but all these years I've lived a prosperous life and I'm not ready to mess myself up. I'm not ready. Amen. I'm not. Glory be to God. Verse 23. Genesis 39. It says, the keeper of the prison. Okay, now, he's no longer just a slave. Now he's even a prisoner. Things have gotten worse. He started off as just a slave. Now he's a slave in a prison. As a prisoner. Okay? The Bible says the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So if God made whatever he did to prosper, what do you say about that man? He was prosperous. According to some people, things got worse for him. Slave now, prison slave, you're there feeling sorry for him. But God is like, guy, the guy you're feeling sorry for, Takoleko. All his needs are met, and whatever he's doing, man, it is wonderful. People are just appreciating. That's one of the reasons why they don't want to set him free. Because if they set him free, who can they get like him? And the guy is internally motivated, internal motivation. Because man, you understand? Now for you, you're there, you're earning a billion shillings, but your work is not appreciated. There's a guy, a doctor. Have you guys heard of a doctor called Okotino? Okotino was at one time, tassel the head and then idea, he's a very brilliant guy, man. The guy is too sharp in the end, and he's a wonderful dog. So I remember when we were at school, they came for something, that group, they came to Barclay, and then we joined them for a dinner. And then, anyway, so the guy was telling us, you remember now he has come from Uganda, they've come for a trip to the US. Eh? So he was telling us how Americans, there's an organization in the States, I don't know whether the government or the United States, but anyway, he had been offered a good job, as in you leave Uganda, come to the States. Okay? It was a big offer, man. Eh? The girl was going to make dimes. Okay? More money than what he was making in Uganda. Okay? But he told us that what? He's like, he considered this thing called social capital. And he's like, I'm not moving from Uganda. He said, Uganda, people appreciate you. People know you. Everyone knows you. Eh? Like everyone who meets you say, hi, Dr. Coutinho, what? Eh? People bow. You go to the States, no one cares. Eh? Okay? The neighborhood you're staying in, everyone is better than you. Okay? Then a millionaire like you. So no one, you're nothing. And the guy said, let me stay in my what? Uganda. Glory be to God. Social capital. He called it. Eh? Okay? Of course, now for us who are saved, it is not social capital that makes us do that. We make decisions based on the will of God. Okay? But I was just using that thing to make a point. So, Joseph is prosperous in prison, a slave. Hallelujah. Teddy, you can see, we need to really go and ask God, what does prosperity mean? All right? Glory be to God. Okay? You remember, God can meet your needs without money? Miraculously without money. And he did it with Jesus. Jesus had women who used to provide for him out of their substance in Luke chapter 8. There's another time, they came to collect tax and Jesus didn't have the money, but the need had to be met then. And he told Peter to go and what? Get the first fish, get open its mouth and take out money and pay them. Okay? So when Jesus didn't have the cash, was he broke? The money wasn't needed at that time. When it was needed, problem was solved. So stop having sleepless nights, thinking about how you're going to pay university, tuition for your kids who are 6 years old. Okay. Glory be to God. Amen. Stop. Okay. Glory be to God. Ladies who are not pregnant, stop sleepless nights over thinking about the hospital bills, Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6. We can't end this session without reading. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Man, I just wish I'd become a teacher of the word. I'll be a greater blessing to people. Honestly. All right? Joanne, you're the one who likes to pray. Pray for me that I may become a teacher. So that I can... So may servant to step by step. Okay? Verse 6, 1 Timothy, it says, now, godliness, I need to tell you a dream. I had long time ago, years ago. You remember we said, prosperity is God supplying your needs. Okay? If your needs are supplied when it is not God who has supplied them, that is not prosperity. For us who don't know, we might see it as prosperity. Okay? If your need for a new shoe has been supplied by withholding tithe, that is not prosperity. If it has been made by stealing someone's money, okay, that's not tithe. If it has been supplied, as we saw in the Bible, James 5, not paying people's salaries, wages, that's not what? Okay? That is not what? That is not prosperity. Okay? Yeah, I've remembered. I was like, yeah. Many years ago. Now, again, if your needs are met by, you know, money you withheld, God told you, give that money to Judith, and you withheld that money, and you supplied for yourself the need, that is not prosperity. Okay? So, yeah, so I remember years ago, I think it was like 12. I remember telling God that, God, I don't think I have anything, you know, I and my wife, I don't think we have anything in our house which, you know, shouldn't be there, which, you know, money which was supposed to be given to someone and then we bought a flat, you know. I was like, God, I don't think there's anything. I was like, God, we have, you know. Then I told him that if there's anything, you show me. Okay, you show me if we have anything. It was supposed to be someone's money, but we didn't give it to them. Then we bought this. I told God, show it. Show me. Amen. And so that night, God is amazing, you know. That night, I had a dream. In the dream, there's a Chinese man who came to our house. He was looking for something. According to him, you know, he was like, it is us who stole something. Okay? So he came to our house. I told him, okay, you look, you know. And I was angry at the guy. The guy, you know, so the guy went, he looked, you know, all over the place. Okay? And he didn't find nothing. I even cut a wire for him. I was like, now why did you disturb us, you know? Anyway, yeah, and the dream ended. Okay? So obviously, it was a response from God. Remember, I told him, show us. Okay? And, you know, the dream was like there was nothing. We had what? Stolen. Glory be to God. Isn't that awesome? Well, it was awesome for me. You okay? I haven't asked him for the last, you know, I don't know how many years now. Maybe I should ask him again. Glory be to God. But anyway, that is what? Prosperity, if you have things and the money wasn't supposed to be for them. For us who don't have, who don't dream, like Joan does, we might not know that, as a saint, that is a Rachel, You know, But God is like, that one is not prosperous. Glory be to God. And I just remember that dream, and I thought I should tell you. First Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Contentment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, it is for sure, we can carry nothing out. Okay? Naked where you are. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Remember, Jesus said, don't worry about food, about what? Clothing. And this is what Paul is saying here. Having those, you know, having those, we shall be content. Then he says, now this is a verse which what? Over the years, it has messed me up. I've never really cracked it well. Sometimes I even do want to what? Read it. He says, but those who desire to be rich. Now, I want to be rich. So this verse, man. Okay, so he says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Okay? I used to hate that verse, desire to be rich. You know, if I want to be rich, but I still want to be rich, very rich, okay? And I always tell God, and God one time he told me, yes, you'll be rich. Now, then you read a verse like this. It even contradicts what God has told you. But of course, you have to say that, but the Bible, the written word is a standard by which you base what you hear. You know those things, okay? Then, some time ago, I realized that, you know, there's this thing, if you've read the Bible, okay, I always say this, when you read the Bible, there's almost always the writers, all those who are speaking, would repeat themselves, but in other words. Okay? So sometimes if you don't understand a certain verse, okay, you try and read the one which follows. You realize that actually, okay, it says exactly the same thing as the what? The previous verse, but in other words. Jesus did that all the time. Paul did that. Apparently, I read that that's how the Jewish whatever is. In fact, even when you read the Proverbs, okay, one line says this, another line kind of says different, but actually they're saying the same things. And so that's how what? I got assorted with this verse which I used to hate. When I now read, you know, downwards. Okay? You remember it says, those who desire to be what? Some. You desire to be rich. The Bible says you fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Okay? You remember? Jesus said that the son of concerning Judas, you know, as in perdition, as in eternally what? Damned, hell. Okay? And this is the same word here. Okay? Destruction, perdition. It even says drowning. When you drown, you die. You know, so it's talking about death. You know, So verse 8, it says that for the love of money is a root of all kinds of what? Evil. Then now, you realize that the desire to be rich is what? Is what is actually also the love of money. All right, okay? Which is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. Okay? You know, straying from the faith is actually departing from the Lord. Okay? And you're ending up in hell. Do you understand? Just like verse 8 says, okay, perdition, destruction, drowning. And this one says what? The love of money. Okay? You stray from the faith. Some have done it. Okay? Just like those who desire to be rich, okay, have drowned. Do you understand? So, the desire to be rich, okay, is the same as what? The love of what? Money. Okay? But still, it is heads here. Okay? We can't understand it well. Now, let's continue to read. Okay, so it says that, for which some are strayed from the faith in their greediness. Glory be to God. Now it becomes clearer. Okay? Desiring to be rich, okay, must be understood in context. Desiring to be rich means, okay, in the context of the Bible, it means the love of money. Okay? And it means greediness. Greediness. You know, KJV uses the word covetousness. For what? Greediness. And the Bible says covetousness is what? Idolatry. I think it's in Colossians 3:15. Do you understand? Okay? So, the word desire must be understood in the context of this what? Scripture. Okay? I want to be rich. Glory be to God. Okay? But I'm not greedy. Okay? So since I'm not too greedy, it means that this verse of desiring to be rich doesn't apply to me. Okay? My desire is a godly desire. Do you understand? Eh? Okay? There are, you know, you know, like lust. Okay? A normal man should have sexual desire for his wife. Do you understand? Eh? Okay? But if that desire is corrupted, okay, then it will be lust towards some other what? Lady. Do you understand? Eh? So now, this word actually, desire, can be understood as lust in the context of this verse. You understand it? Eh? Okay, so he says that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, covetousness, which is idolatry, where they worship money. All right? And they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Pierced themselves through. Eh? They have killed themselves. Okay? Like the other verse said, they have drowned. Perdition. Okay? Straight from the faith. Okay? Straight from the faith. Glory be to God. Amen? But you see, again, you see, they were not content. Okay? They were not content. Okay? Which means they were greedy. Which means they desired, yeah, they lusted to be rich. Which means they had the love for money. And if you continue along that route, eh, what Americans say, route, man, eh, you can stray from the faith completely. And Paul here says, some had done it. Some had what? So he says, they had, in fact, this verse is better read. It sounds better in KJV. You know, it sounds, you know, they have erred, you know, eh? KJV, it's wonderful. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted or covet, whatever, after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Okay? Verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and lustful, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction. And what? Okay? So now, I love that verse. You know, now I understand that verse. Now I can read it, desiring to be. Man, I tell you, I never liked that verse. Because I was like, but God, you know I want to be rich so that I can be a blessing. I want a lot of money so that I can give away. Now, this verse says, then I'll have dreams, eh? Governor, eh? BOU, FPO. And I was like, but that verse, you know. Then until I learned that thing, that sometimes, eh, you know, one verse, you know, is explained by the you know, eh, by the following verse. And that's exactly it. But you see, it is in other words. Okay? Greediness, covetousness, the love of money is the same as the what? The desire to be rich. And godly desire. But the point I'm trying to make is, and it is, again, not being content. Eh? Not being content is the same thing as the love of money. Okay? Okay? And if you're not careful, eh, you can stray from the faith. Huh? Now, there is a preacher I know, okay, who strayed from the faith. Now, when there's someone I know, when he had just gotten to learn that preacher had strayed from the faith, okay, this guy told me that he went and asked God, that God, what happened? How can you refer to this preacher in those terms, eh? You know, the terms of the dreams which were like, you know, eh? And that night, you know, God answered this guy who was asking, you know, what had gone on? God responded with a dream. And in the dream, it had to do with cars and money. Oh, money for cars. You understand? Basically, that was God's response, meaning that actually what messed up this preacher, it was a money thing. And that's what got him to stray from the faith. The love of money. Okay? Which is also called not being content. That's why, remember, our definition of prosperity ended with that word, contentment, with gratefulness. Okay? Why do our young sisters, girls, why do they, stray from the faith and what men, you understand? See, yeah, with dimes. Why do our husbands, men, why do they hit people on the head? Dimes. You sell someone AR land, AR, Why? Money. And you continue along that road. If you're not careful and the devil times you bulunge, he will give you an offer. What? When by the time you get to that point, you're so weak and you cannot say no. He did it to the Lord. He told him, if you worship me, he showed him stuff, man. You remember? The God of this world, Adam gave it to him, and he told him, if you worship, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Say, now all this, just do this, and I'll give it to you. The love of money, the love of stuff, the desire, a lust for those things, lack of contentment, with what God has given you now. That's why Paul said that for us, if we have bread, if we have food and clothing, with these we shall be what? Now people, they have four suits, and not just suits, four pairs of shoes, but they're not content. Can you imagine? Paul said, man, just something on our backs. Elijah, a raven, in the morning, in the evening, just that, I'm content and I'll be there until you tell me to go to some other place. I won't try to go out and make ends meet. You understand? He was content in that hiding place. Glory be to God. Amen. Last week I was meditating on this scripture, man, the love of money is a very dangerous, you play around with it. So I was like, hey, I think this guy's dream, Yeah, I think it's that. I think money caused, the love of money caused what? The problem. Then I remember the dream, some lady sent me, there was a contest, two preachers, preaching prosperity, financial prosperity. One was me, one was the other who preached. And it was like a contest, who is better than the other. And apparently, according to the dream that lady had, I was better, Then, before the dream ends, there's another scene, and there's a cross, the cross of Jesus, and my side is shining bright, and this preacher's side of the cross is bleeding blood. You understand? And again, you can see God was saying, for you, Moses, you handled this money thing well, this preacher, my heart is bleeding. So you can say again, it was shedding light on the other one. This guy's dream that actually money, this is why I wish people would listen to me, especially preachers and especially these young guys. I tell people who dare listen to me, I tell them, leave this financial prosperity message. Don't talk about it unless God tells you to. This thing is very deadly if God hasn't told you to talk about it. LAT, we last talked about this message in January. And again, we were even telling people to save. In January, since January, I'm called to preach this thing, but since January, I haven't talked about it. Okay? No, you're here, you've been called to preach what? Financial what? Prosperity. Now, you have to show the world that you're prosperous. You have to show people that you're prosperous, so they can what? They can what? Believe you that your anointing is actually also working what? For you. And now you end up in trouble. Because now you see you're trying to show people. Instead of just being grateful for what has gone, Katiwagara Okubalaga, I'm the FPO, you know, eh? And that's where trouble starts. Well, I guess what they can sow into you, you understand? It's what they can partake. And that's where what? Trouble starts. God has never called anyone to show. You understand? You just preach your thing. If you're the FPO, you just preach a prosperity thing. Whether people believe you or not, whether people are looking at what kind of shoe you're wearing, your house, those are theirs. Okay? Before you preach what God told you, you told them what they want to tell you. Now, let them decide whether you're prosperous or not. But if you get pressurized into trying to come again, how are you going to show them? Do you know how you're going to show them? You're going to show them by stealing their money. Eh? Okay? Then you'll get those expensive things and you will look what they wanted. And they will give you more money. Okay? So you see, contentment, Bambi, there could have been other things that caused this, but there's a guy I know who will ask the Lord when these revelations started coming in July, and the guy went and asked God, what happened? How come you're depicting this guy like this in the dreams? And that night, okay, God sent him a dream where there was something about to do with cars and money. And basically, God was saying the root of all these things, you know, it was a money issue. Okay? So now for you, okay, make up your mind to be content. Be content with what God has given you. Okay? But don't worry, he will increase you, He will increase you. He has no problem with increasing anybody. There was even a guy who had many wives, more than one wife. He took someone's wife and God was angry. He said, now, if you wanted more wives, you should have told me, I would have given you more. David, in the Old Testament. Okay? Sammy said, don't say that, man. My wife is here. You see? Okay? But of course, we're in a different one. Dispensation, so that those offers, you know, are no longer there. But you see, so the point I'm trying to make is God is willing to increase us. Okay? But how can he increase us when we're not content with what he has given us? Hallelujah. Contentment. And sometimes the increase comes in other ways. It might not come in physical cash, electronic cash, but it can come, you know, in like you have a child. The increase can come with someone offering to pay school fees for your kid. Do you understand? It comes in other ways sometimes. Glory be to God. Sometimes it can come with God blessing your kid, and the kid grows up to be so, you understand? And so all that money you thought you'd save to buy that piece of land for the kid, now the kid grows up and he has too much money and you realize that you are saving for nothing. Did you understand? So when that increase actually somehow indirectly God what? You know, sent it through the kid, but you understand? Okay? So contentment. Okay? Glory be to God. Once again, what is prosperity? My definition, which I believe is God's definition, is True prosperity, true financial prosperity is when God, with or without money, provides for all your immediate needs and assignment and you're content and grateful with that. Glory be to God. Amen.